the factory never really slept. It growled and rattled through the heat, metal screaming over metal while fans pushed hot air from one corner to another. On the morning they assigned Kayla to him, Daryl already had sweat darkening the collar of his high-visibility shirt and a clipboard under his arm. He was the man everyone called when a line froze or a motor burned, the married engineer who knew every panel, every relay, every shortcut that kept production numbers alive. Kayla walked in with her intern badge still stiff on its clip, eyes wide at the noise and pace. Her summer was supposed to be about learning, documenting, getting a good evaluation. Instead, she met Daryl's steady look and the small smile that never reached his eyes. He told her to stay close, watch how he worked, listen more than she spoke. By the time the first shift ended, she already owed him a favor she did not understand yet. Chapter 1, First Shift. The heat settled on the factory like a wet blanket. Overhead lights buzzed, forklifts beeped as they reversed, and the press line pounded a steady rhythm that shook the grated walkways. The air smelled of oil, burned dust, and coolant. Kayla stood just inside the safety doors, tugging at her hard hat strap while her safety glasses fogged at the edges. "Stay out of the lanes unless you want a forklift on your toes," Daryl said, stepping in front of her. His badge swung on a faded lanyard, HR photo years out of date. "You Kayla, right? The new intern." She nodded, voice almost lost in the noise. "Yes, industrial systems, third year." "Good. Stay with me. Walk on my left so I see you. Do not touch anything unless I tell you," he said. He did not raise his voice. He did not need to. The authority was baked into every word, shaped by years of being the person called when alarms screamed and supervisors panicked. They walked past stacked pallets and steel cabinets, past workers in stained uniforms who moved with practiced speed. Daryl pointed out lockout tags hanging from panels, the red hasps and chains that meant a piece of equipment was dead for a reason. He talked about arc flash boundaries and three-point contact on ladders. He never slowed his pace. "This place will hurt you if you try to impress it," he said. "You last here by being boring and precise. Got it?" Kayla smiled, trying to match his stride. "Got it." He glanced at her, eyes tracking the way she held her notebook, how close she stayed. His wedding ring flashed once as he gestured at a junction box. Then his hand dropped back to his side. They reached the main press line, where sheets slammed into shape under a massive hydraulic press. A tech waved them over, shouting about a fault code that would not clear. Daryl stepped past the safety chain, checked the lockout, then killed the control power with a practiced flip. "Rule one," he said, looking back at Kayla. "You respect the energy in the system. More people die from being casual than from being stupid." She wrote the line down without thinking. The words felt like a first lesson and a warning. He opened the panel and started tracing wires, calling out readings for her to note. She watched his hands move with the comfort of habit. He talked about relay logic, thermal overloads, how a small loose connection could bring a $1 million line to a stop. When a supervisor came by, Daryl spoke for both of them, framing the delay as a necessary precaution, keeping his tone calm and controlled. "Who is this?" the supervisor asked, nodding at Kayla. "My intern," Daryl said. "Sharp kid. She will be useful once she learns the difference between safe and lucky." The supervisor gave her a quick nod and moved on. Kayla felt a small jolt of pride. Daryl had folded her into his space so easily. Later, in a quieter aisle between warehouses, he slowed for the first time. The noise dipped to a hum. A fan rattled in the corner, pushing hot air across stacked cartons. "You did fine back there," he said. "Most interns just get in the way. You listened. You did not try to prove how smart you are." "Thank you," she said. "I'm just trying not to mess anything up." He let the moment hang, then smiled at her in a way that felt more personal than professional. "You are not the type who messes things up, I can tell. You are the type who makes teams look good." Her shoulders relaxed just a little. The compliment slid in cleaner than she expected. They spent the afternoon walking lines, checking vibration monitors, logging temperatures from panels that smelled faintly scorched. Daryl showed her how to read trends off the old software that everyone hated but relied on. He leaned close when he pointed at the screen, his arm behind her chair, his voice low near her ear as he explained a pressure spike. "See that dip? That is where a cheap fix will bite you later, he said. She registered the warmth of his breath and the way the office door was almost closed. Then he clicked another window open, and the moment was gone. By late afternoon, her feet ached and her shirt clung to her back. Most interns had already clocked out or drifted toward the locker rooms. Daryl was still moving. He checked his watch, then looked at her. "You in a rush?" he asked. "There is a line in C Bay with a problem that could be a good learning session. You want to see real troubleshooting. It is not 9 to 5. Kayla hesitated. She had planned to call her mother, maybe review notes back at her room. A full-time offer, though, would not come from acting like a clock watcher. "I can stay," she said. "No problem." He nodded as if she had given the right answer on a test. "Good. Commitment matters here. Managers ask me who has it and who does not." The words sat between them. She heard what was on the surface. She ignored what felt heavier beneath. In C Bay, the floor was quieter, but the air was thicker. A line stood idle, red beacon flashing. An operator leaned against the guardrail, relief clear on his face as Daryl approached. "Control keeps dropping out," the man said. "I swear it is not us. It glitches and kills the feed." Daryl knelt, opened another panel, and started working. He handed Kayla a meter, guiding her through checks, letting her call out numbers. When she caught a small voltage drop, he seemed pleased. "See, this is why I told them I wanted someone with real potential," he said. "You keep this up, I can make sure your name lands on the right desk when they hand out offers." She looked up. "You told them that already. I know talent when I see it," he said. "You just do your part and trust me on the rest." The line came back to life under his hands. The operator thanked him, joking that the place would fall apart without the old man keeping it together. Daryl shrugged it off, but the praise fed something in him. He walked a little taller as they left. By the time they returned to his small side office near the maintenance shop, most lights on the floor were dimmed. The noise dropped to a dull background thrum. The clock on the wall crept past the end of her shift. "Come in for a minute," he said. "I want to show you how we document that fix. Good engineers protect themselves on paper." She stepped inside. The office was cramped, walls lined with binders and old schematics. The only window looked out onto a stretch of conveyor that now sat dark. When the door swung mostly shut behind her, the sound of the factory narrowed to a faint vibration in the floor. He pulled up the work order system, talking while he typed. "You never write that you guessed. You write that you observed, tested, confirmed. After enough of these, people stop questioning your calls." He turned the screen toward her so she could see the report. Their shoulders brushed. He made no move to create more space. "You did well today," he said, voice softer now. "Not many people fit in here. It is loud. It is rough. You did not flinch." She swallowed. "It is a lot, but I like it. It feels real." "That is why I like this place," he said. "No pretending. Either you can handle the heat or you go sit in an air-conditioned office and talk about numbers." He watched her reaction, saw the way she wanted to belong, to prove she could handle whatever the floor threw at her. He smiled again, that small private smile. "You can trust me, you know," he said. "I have brought interns up before. The ones who listen end up in good spots, promotions, projects people fight for. I am the one who gets people promoted here." The words landed heavier this time. They sounded less like encouragement and more like a quiet claim over her future. She nodded, unsure what else to do. "I appreciate that. I really do." Outside the office, a forklift horn sounded twice, sharp in the dim. A shadow passed the window, then moved on. For a moment, Kayla wondered if anyone saw them in here. Lights on, door almost closed this late. Daryl finished the report and logged out. He stood, stretching, then checked the hallway. The building felt emptied of most eyes, stripped down to skeleton crew and night noise. "You got a ride?" he asked. "I parked in the far lot," she said. "I should be fine." He took a breath, then lowered his voice. "Listen, one thing. You do not need to tell anyone exactly how late you stayed. You know how people are. They gossip. They twist things. You say you were shadowing me on first day, getting the lay of the land. That is enough." She blinked. "I mean, I could just say we were working on C Bay and invite questions from people who have nothing better to do," he said, a tightness under the easy tone. "Trust me. Keep it simple. You worked your shift, maybe a little over. You learned a lot. That is all anyone needs to hear. The request settled on her chest like weight. It was not a threat, not yet. It was a small skewing of the story, a first test of which version of the day she would carry out of that office. "Okay," she said finally. "I will just say we were getting me up to speed." His shoulders eased, he smiled, satisfied. "Good," he said. "You are smart. I knew it. See you tomorrow, bright and early." Kayla stepped out into the warm corridor, the hum of the factory wrapping around her again. As she walked toward the locker rooms, she caught herself rehearsing the simpler version of the day in her head, trimming out how long the door had been almost closed and how close he had stood at the screen. Behind her, the small office light clicked off. Chapter 2, Terms of the Arrangement. By the middle of the second week, people on the floor started joking that Kayla was Daryl's shadow. Whenever a problem flashed on the board, he would grab his tablet and call her name before anyone else could. When a supervisor mentioned a new trial run, he spoke up fast and attached her to it. "Kayla should be on that," he said. "She catches things. Be a waste to have her pushing paper." Other interns rotated through calibration, inventory, and classroom training. They moved in clusters, trading notes and basic gripes about dorm food and long shifts. Kayla kept finding herself pulled in a different orbit, locked to Daryl's route through the plant, walking beside him while he worked his way through alarms and quiet shortcuts. One afternoon, the intern coordinator came to the floor with a clipboard and a tight schedule. She checked boxes next to names, assigning them to tours with senior managers. When she reached Kayla, she hesitated. "You are supposed to be in conference room 4 at 2:00, she said. "Final round of project picks. You did not respond to the invite." Daryl appeared from behind a panel, wiping his hands on a rag. "She is with me," he said before Kayla could answer. "We have a line going unstable in B-Bay. Her project will be real data, not a slideshow." The coordinator looked between them. "This is supposed to be fair rotation. You want a pretty chart for the wall or you want uptime," he said. "She can present off what we are fixing right now. It will look better for everyone." The coordinator sighed and scratched something off the list. "Fine. Send me an outline by Friday." She walked away. Daryl turned to Kayla with a small, satisfied smile. "See," he said, "I told them I wanted you. You stick with me, you end up on the work that matters." Kayla nodded, though a small part of her wondered what she had just been traded into. The other interns were still bunched near the whiteboard, comparing project options. One of them shot her a look that mixed curiosity and resentment. At lunch, the group usually tried to sit together near the far windows. That day, when Kayla slid her tray onto the table, Daryl appeared behind her. "Grab a seat in the back," he said. "I want to walk through tomorrow's schedule. You do not want to be caught cold when they ask questions." She glanced at her friends. One of them, Malik, lifted his hand in a small wave. "I already told them you are tied to my line today," Daryl added. "Come on." She picked up her tray and followed him to a smaller table near the vending machines. He laid out the afternoon like a battle plan, breaking down time windows and expected failures. Between bites of food, he asked about her classes, her grades, which professors knew her name. "So you are one of the top ones," he said. "Good. That is what I told them." "You talked to them about me again," she asked. "They request my input," he said. "When it comes time for full-time offers, they do not look at the brochure. They ask who can actually work out here. That is where I come in." He let the words hang, then leaned back. "I can make sure your name is on the list," he said, "as long as we keep working well together." There was nothing in his tone you could quote as a threat. Still, the message was clear. Her future sat partly in his hands. The isolation came in small cuts. When another engineer invited her to sit in on a meeting about a new control upgrade, Daryl stepped in. "She's already booked with me," he said. "We are deep in C-Bay. No point tearing her between two mentors." When an intern group text suggested grabbing dinner after shift, his messages started to arrive before she could answer. Photos of fault codes, questions about her notes, pulling her attention back to the plant even when she was not there. He made little remarks about people too, called one intern a talker, said another liked to complain more than learn, told her that certain texts would distract her with gossip and slow her down. You do not want to be seen as part of that crowd, he said. You are better than that. Stay focused. People notice. So she skipped a group movie night to rework a trend chart he had barely commented on. When she passed the break room and heard them laughing, she told herself it was worth it. The plant was not a campus. There were real stakes here. The near miss came on a Wednesday night when the sky outside the high windows had gone dark and the floor lights reflected off polished steel. Kayla was in charge of monitoring a small conveyor system feeding parts into a press. It should have been routine. The machine coughed, then kept running. A warning light blinked once, then steadied. She hesitated. The manual said to stop the line for any fault, no matter how brief. Supervisors hated downtime. That contradiction sat in her chest like a stone. She watched for another minute. Nothing obvious happened. Then a sensor flag popped in the control screen. She hit the stop button. The line shuddered to a halt. Within minutes, a supervisor arrived with a tight jaw and a raised voice. "Why did you kill my feed?" he snapped. Kayla pointed at the screen. "There was a fault. The light dropped out for a second. The sensor just flagged. The manual says to stop and check." He opened his mouth, ready to argue, when Daryl walked in, drawn by the sound of silence on a line that should have been running. "What is going on?" he asked. "Your intern stopped us for a blip," the supervisor said. "We are under quota already." Daryl stepped up to the panel. He scrolled through the log, eyes scanning the timestamps. His face stayed neutral. "She did what she was supposed to," he said. "If that sensor sticks low and nobody checks it, you get damaged product or someone's hand where it should not be. Give us 20 minutes. The supervisor muttered under his breath, but backed off. Daryl locked out the panel and opened the access guards. They worked in close quarters, tracing the issue to a loose bracket that let a sensor vibrate out of alignment. It was the kind of small failure that could build into a bigger one if ignored. When they finished and the line came back to life, he closed the panel and turned to her. The floor was quieter now, just the hum of motors and the tapping of a distant impact gun. "You got rattled," he said. "I did not want to cause trouble," she said. "But the light dropped, then the log. I thought if I did nothing and it went bad, they would blame me." "They will blame you either way," he said with a dry edge. "That is how this place works, but you were right to stop it." Relief washed through her. She exhaled. "Thing is," he continued, lowering his voice, "we do not need to write it exactly like that." She frowned. "What do you mean?" "The report," he said. "If we put in that you stopped the line for a minor fault that turned out to be a loose bracket, someone up the chain will decide you overreacted. Next time, you will hesitate. That is how accidents happen." He watched her face. "So what do we write?" she asked. "We write that I noticed a pattern on the sensor trend and called a planned check," he said. "I will list you as assisting. That way, nobody can accuse you of panic, and nobody second guesses what we did." The logic sounded smooth, protective even. She nodded slowly. "Thank you," she said. "I did not want this to be my first big note in the system." "Exactly," he said. "You are new. You do not need that kind of spotlight. I will take the hit if someone is annoyed about downtime. That is what I am here for." He held her eyes a little too long. "But that means you owe me," he added. "You remember that, right? I cover you, you trust my calls, we stay aligned." There was a touch of steel under the calm tone, a weight behind the word "oh" that had nothing to do with paperwork. She swallowed. "Of course, I appreciate it." The first late-night text came that same evening, long after she had showered and tried to settle with her laptop. The time on her screen read 10:38 when her phone buzzed. "You handled yourself today, Daryl," she replied after a pause. "Thanks. Still thinking about that sensor." He wrote back fast. "That is normal. It will fade. Tomorrow we will go through past faults so you can see patterns. Maybe stay a little later if you can. Easier when the floor is quiet." She stared at the message. Then another line appeared before she could answer. "You have a boyfriend complaining about the hours yet?" She frowned at the shift. "No," she wrote. "Just trying to keep up here." "Good," he replied. "Less drama. This place needs your focus. You are not like the others. Do not let them pull you into games." The conversation drifted from sensors and training into small questions about her weekends, music she liked, whether she was going home between terms. When she took too long to answer one night, Another message came. You out with your little intern crew. She replied, just tired, long day. Do not let them waste your time, he wrote. They are not the ones who can sign off on you. The next day, in a cramped calibration room that smelled of solvent, he stepped in close as she adjusted a probe. His hand brushed her shoulder and lingered a second too long. Careful, he said quietly. You do not want to slip and mark the wrong point. People talk. She felt heat rise in her face. His words were about the task. His tone felt like something else. The first clear pressure came a few days later. They were in a storage room behind the maintenance shop, checking spares. Shelves towered around them, stacked with boxes and coils of cable. The door clicked shut on a slow closer, cutting off most of the floor noise. He had asked her to help reconcile inventory against a spreadsheet, something mindless after a long shift. Half an hour in, she realized they were alone. No one had walked by in minutes. He moved closer to show her a part number, standing at her side, chest almost touching her arm. She stepped back. There was nowhere else to go. You are getting quiet, he said. Just tired, she answered. He watched her. The fluorescent light buzzed overhead. You know I am putting my name on you, he said, for the full-time list. That is not nothing. Some interns would kill for that. I know, she said. I am grateful. I need to know we are on the same page, he said. No surprises, no stories that make me look like I am taking advantage. People love that kind of gossip. It ruins careers, not just mine. Her throat tightened. I have not said anything. Good, he said. Keep it that way. We keep this between us. How late you stay, what I cover for you, how closely we work, others would not understand. His eyes held hers. The air felt thin in the small room. A knock on the door broke the moment. It pushed open a crack. The senior operator from B-Bay peered in. You two alive in here, he asked. Thought we lost someone under a shelf. It has been quiet. Kayla stepped away from Daryl so fast she nearly bumped a box. We are fine, she said, just counting parts. The operator's gaze flicked over her face, then to Daryl, then to the partially closed door. Something changed in his expression. Not shock, just a cool awareness. Do not let him bury you in paperwork, the operator said lightly. You are no good to us if you pass out back here. He held her eyes for a moment longer than needed, as if checking for something unsaid. Then he left, letting the door settle open a few inches. Daryl watched him go, jaw tight. He likes to stir things up, he said. He sees ghosts where there are none. Ignore him. Kayla nodded, but her hands shook as she picked up the clipboard. The thin gap in the door felt like the only source of air in the room. As they finished the count, her mind kept circling the same questions. How far was this supposed to go? How much did she owe him now that he had rewritten a report and tied his name to hers? How many people had seen enough to wonder what was really happening? Chapter 3, Shutdown Procedure. The complaint did not arrive as a formal accusation. It came as a brief note in an end-of-shift report, written by someone who did not sign their name. The plant manager found it on a Thursday morning and read it twice while the floor thundered beneath his office. It mentioned an intern spending long hours in closed rooms with a senior engineer. It mentioned tension. It mentioned worry. No details, no claims, just enough to make leadership uneasy. The plant had been hit with two near misses in the last quarter, both logged under corrective action. Insurance pressure had been rising. HR had been told to get ahead of anything that smelled like risk. An intern tied to a married engineer was risk, even if nobody had said the words out loud. Kayla got the email at 8:13 a.m., asking her to stop by conference room 3. No reason attached, just a quiet request. She arrived with her badge clipped tight and her hands cold despite the heat. Inside were two people. The HR lead, a woman with calm eyes and a yellow legal pad, and the operations manager, who looked like he wanted to be anywhere else. They greeted her with softened voices, the kind people use when they expect trouble. We wanted to check in with you, the HR lead said, about your rotation, about how things are going. Kayla sat. The chair felt too small in the wide room. Things are fine, she said. I have been learning a lot. The HR lead studied her for a long moment. We received a note, she said slowly. Nothing formal, nothing detailed, but it suggested there may be blurred boundaries with the engineer supervising you. The words hung in the still air. Kayla felt her throat tighten. She pictured Daryl's face if he walked in right now. The closed doors, the late nights, the way he had tracked her answers as if measuring loyalty. "Is there anything you want to tell us?" the HR lead asked. "This is a safe space. You are not in trouble." Kayla stared at the table. Her pulse thudded in her ears. Speaking meant consequences. Staying silent meant carrying the weight alone. Either path would leave marks. "I have been working long hours," she said carefully. "He asked me to stay late so I could learn the equipment. I thought that was normal." "Did you feel pressured?" the manager asked. "Obligated?" Her fingers curled against her knee. "Sometimes he made it sound like my future depended on staying aligned with him," she said. "He covered something for me once. A report. After that, things felt complicated." The HR lead wrote something down. "Did he ever make a direct proposition," she asked, "or imply that your job depended on anything outside work?" Kayla shook her head. "No, nothing like that. But he got too close. In rooms with the door closed, he asked personal questions. He told me not to talk about how late I stayed." The man exhaled, tension bleeding from his shoulders. The HR lead closed the legal pad with a soft tap. "Thank you," she said. "You handled this professionally. We want to make sure you are safe and supported. We will take next steps." Kayla hesitated, then asked the question that had lived in her chest for weeks. "What happens to me now?" "You continue your rotation," the HR lead said, "but under a different supervisor. Decisions about your future will not be tied to this situation. Not here." She nodded, but her stomach churned. Nothing in industry was ever that clean. Word spread, doors closed in silent ways. Someone would remember her name for the wrong reasons. On the floor, Daryl was tightening bolts on a guard when the manager approached him. The conversation was quiet, but not quiet enough to stop Tex from glancing over. The manager handed him a short printed notice, then asked him to step into his office. Daryl froze for half a breath. Then he wiped his hands and followed. Inside, the manager delivered the summary without any softness. Concerns raised, patterns noticed, intern reassigned, HR conducting review. For now, Daryl was removed from mentorship duties and any work requiring one-on-one oversight. "This is nonsense," Daryl said. "She asked to stay late. She is ambitious. She wants the job." "We did not ask for your interpretation," the manager said. "We asked you to step back while we assess." Daryl's jaw tightened. "So after 16 years, this is what I get." "You get a fair process," the manager said, "and a chance to respond to the evidence." Daryl stared at the notice, then something in him shifted. He leaned forward. "What evidence?" he asked. "Messages, logs, scheduling records. The pattern spoke louder than any accusation." "You made her dependent," the manager said quietly, "whether you meant to or not." When Daryl walked out, the room smelled faintly of sweat and metal. He kept his head high, but his steps were heavier than usual. Workers moved out of his way without speaking. The operator from B Bay watched him pass with a cold, steady look. Kayla remained in conference room 3 as HR discussed support resources, next steps, and what retaliation would look like if it occurred. She heard the words but felt distant from them. Her hands shook when she finally signed a short statement confirming her account. Walking back through the plant felt like moving through thick air. Machines hammered, forklifts whined, every sound felt sharper. She passed the side office where she'd sat with Daryl during late nights. The door was open now, lights off, empty. A hollow space inside her matched it. By the time she reached the end of the floor, the shift bell rang. Workers poured out toward locker rooms and side exits. Kayla stepped through them like a ghost, caught between relief and dread. She pushed open the last door and walked into the heat of the parking lot. The factory hummed behind her, steady as ever, indifferent to what it had taken from her summer. She paused beside her car, gripping her keys with a shaking hand. Telling the truth had cost her something she could not name yet. Maybe safety, maybe opportunity, maybe the version of herself who walked in on day one believing the world ran on fairness. Inside the plant, a light above the maintenance hallway flickered once, then steadied. She did not turn around to watch it. She got in her car, closed the door, and let the silence swallow her.